when I look at partnerships and relationships, it's the same thing. It's not partnerships in business or partnerships in life. Partnerships are partnerships. And so there's levels of this. This first one, you have similar beliefs on growth. So this person has the ability to go, okay, I want to be a billion-dollar company. You can't have somebody, for instance, Jake or Aaron, my two core partners, or even James, I want to be a billion-dollar, and I'm over here going like, I think a couple million are okay. And I used to have this feeling. And it wasn't because I didn't feel like I was worthy for it. It was more so, I never knew it was possible. I didn't think that I could get to this level. And that's super important. Like if you have someone that's operating with a multi-million dollar or even just multi-hundreds of thousands, and you're over here in the multi-hundreds of millions, billions, you're not going to be moving at the speed at which they're wanting to move yet. So alignment of growth. Speed of growth is the second question around this. What is up, everybody? Your boy's back, Nick Schottenberg, with the one, the only, Joshua Johnson. Joshua, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, man. It's been a burner of a week, but this is the highlight every single week is like, hey, Friday, Shaq and I wrap with a couple podcasts, and it's always a good feeling.
Today felt like I got my butt retattooed. That's like, if I were to say like, this is how today and this week went, was like, first off, I'm in a WeWork, so I apologize on the surround sound of this. We're like in the final stretch before baby Shaq comes, and somebody was doing a photo shoot at the house, and so we had to get out. But it has been a hell of a week, and I don't know if it's end of quarter energy. I don't know if it's people are just like not closing, or people are saying they're going to close, but take forever. But there's times like this where I really feel good about the way that our agency is structured, and the agency that I have around this is structured in terms of partnerships. And this has been a big conversation. A lot of the people I know are in two camps. You're a solo founder and you ride or die and you do this by yourself, or you have some sort of partnership with one person, two people, three people. And I've kind of done both. And currently, as I sit in a lot of my relationships right now, is I have a couple people I have a couple agencies that I'm a part of that I'm in partnerships with. And so I'm very curious to know in the conversations you're having or the people that you talk with, what are they feeding? Are they coming in more solo, coming more partner? I want to talk about this.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really big mix, right? So currently on our roster, we work with about 43 different agencies. And I would say it's close to an even split right down the middle of people that come in solo versus people that come in with partnerships. And really, I haven't seen a right or wrong way to do it. I think it's just the speed at which people want to go at requires sometimes you to have a partner, right? And the people that are moving a little bit slower are the ones that are doing like the solo founding. And the people that are wanting to move at a little faster rate are giving up a little bit of equity, giving up a little bit of that pie in order to bring in someone that's filling a gap or a skill gap that they don't currently have. So that's kind of how I see the ecosystem as it currently sits. But I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer. I have an opinion, of course, but I'm curious, like, you know, I know you have a lot of partners and a lot of different ventures. As far as like partnerships go, when did you start solo and then you started bringing in partners? What was like that beginning stage for you?
I think you really have to know like who you are and how you operate. Like I love relationships. I love partnerships. I tweet this every single year. Another year, I will be your best partner ever. And that's like to my wife, that's to my friends, that's to everything, that's to my business partners. Because a lot of the things I realized noticing who I am and what I do is I'm always in search of my locker room because that's where I came from, right? Like I always want to be in my group or with a couple people that are grinding towards a specific thing. I like that rah-rahness. And you know, before it was easy because you're like, I'm in an office. And so you can kind of show up and you're like, yeah, I'm with all these people. But yeah, you're the owner and these people might be working on your behalf. But knowing that I have one other person on a partner level that he or she is going to feel emotionally or financially with me, that's important to me. So through everything I've done, I've always had a partner. There's a couple of things that I've done solo or venture, but it's just more of like cash-wise. But there's not too many things, even when I do like my friends, we're venturing into doing some golf stuff here. Well, that's still planning. And I do that with Shauna and I do that with a partner that we're doing some sort of work together. And so you need to know if you play well with others. Because if you don't, an agency space is kind of difficult to be by yourself because there's two things that have always happening. Agency world, in my opinion, is the one area where partnerships thrive because it's usually like this. This person over here is incredible at sales and generating business that likes to be a little bit public facing or likes to jump on these calls. Cool. This person over here likes to do the operations. They want to fulfill. They want to manage the team. Cool. And so that relationship, AKA an agency, whether it's econ, whether it's lead gen, whether it's creative, whatever the fuck it's going to be, whether it's retention, it kind of solves it kind of makes those lanes in a very clear for things. Don't you agree?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, when we started our agency, I came in as like the operations person, you know, and then the other half was driving sales, driving revenue. When I started Hydra, I was like, I'm going to try this as a solo founder. And I did that for the first year. And I just remember just being so miserable because I was like, I can't bitch to my team about this. Like, I'm just bitching to myself and my wife at this point. So I was like, I need to bring someone in. I need to bring someone in that like understands what I'm trying to build and can contribute in a high level, but also share some of that responsibility. It's a lot to backpack an entire organization and try to build a company by yourself. Hats off to the people that can do it, but the fastest growing, the largest agencies that I know all have partnerships. They all have some sort of partnership dynamic to them, whether it's one, two, or three different partners within the business. And I think at a certain point, for your business to get to the level that you want it to get to, whether that's 7, 8, 9 figures, you're going to have to relinquish a little bit of equity and a little bit of responsibility off of your plate. Because if you don't get the buy-in from the team, right, and especially like the management leadership team, it's very difficult to scale that organization because there's so many, especially in an agency, there's so many different departments like lead gen and sales. You have, you know, your fulfillment side, you have your operational side. There's so many things that need to be effective. And if you don't have the buy-in from the team that are leading those departments, then it's really hard to scale.
Well, y'all, you need to be pretty vulnerable in this space. Is I was at Common Thread, incredible agency for a good amount of years, learned a lot, right? I've gone from, I was like kind of Goldilocks of the agency world. I went from giant big agency working on clients like Apple at Omnicom and Resolution. So I basically went from no work to the biggest agency job. And that's kind of where I was like, I'm an agency guy. This is my thing. Like big org. I can't wait to be a senior director of Americas. Like that was my truth. That was my trajectory. And then you go into what can you really do when you're reporting a deck to client XYZ? Like, who are you? Your account manager. Okay. Well, then you go to like a super small agency and we were like less than 6 people working in an office over here in Irvine. And this was like hand on the keyboard. You're doing everything. You don't really have tons of resources, but there's a ton of cash. Everyone's making a bunch of money. And you're like, okay, well, this is a little too small and a little bit higher impact. And then I landed at Common where it was big enough. You had enough people that was involved in all the things so you could learn on all the things at one time. And then you realize, oh, well, I'm actually really good at doing these certain specific things. Is this worthy of asking for equity, or is it worthy of asking for partnerships? And you have to find out, like, if you're an employee, and because there's two perspectives here, employee trying to get up to a partnership level, and there's also, I'm about to start, do I bring in partners? You need to, if you're an employee going for this, because I went through this path, you have to look at the existing cap table of like, is there room for me? Is there something different? And kind of like another choosing partners, is there something that I'm pretty able to provide that these other partners cannot provide? And if that's lead gen, if that's execution, if that's hiring, that's something, know that that's a little bit of a space where it's not going to stay like that. And I ran into that. I ran into that issue when I went to Taylor. I was like, dude, I want to be on this partner table. He's like, brother, like I already got all this stuff covered. Like I don't really necessarily need you. And that's like more or less the conversation, which pushed me out into my venture. And so when me and Jake are building and growing, and even now when I see Aaron and Avin and myself, and then when we go to acquire other agencies, you see Aaron going like, the number one thing that we all need is lead gen and fulfillment. Okay, number one and number two, pick your poison depending on what you want to put first. So if you can have these two areas in a good understanding, and then you can start helping each other and start hiring around it, there's no reason why that wouldn't work. And why I believe also partnerships are so needed in this, especially at the early stage. If you give a partner, and I'll speak a little bit, numbers are irrelevant, but I'll speak specifically the numbers in a sense, bringing a partner that's 50-50 with you and you guys are both making $25,000 a month in the agency, ownership is not really that big of a conversation there because you guys are just getting paid by a handful of clients. At what point, Josh, do you feel like it's necessary for the equity to actually be meaningful? Whereas at the beginning, you're like, we're just trying to take distributions and we're paying ourselves X dollars every single month.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's how, you know, Nicholas and I started with our partnership. It's like, I don't know, I think we were doing maybe 20K a month when he came on board. So it was like very minimal. So it was like, cool. He's already put in a ton of effort. Let's just give him equity in the business and let's run this thing together. Cause like he's treating it already like it's his own. I think once you get around that 500K per year mark, maybe a little bit north of that, is when you need to actually look at, hey, what is my company valued at? And what is this percent that I'm giving away actually valued? And has this person either put in the sweat equity to match what the valuation actually is, or can they buy in to the business if I feel like they're a good fit, but like, hey, you know, like this is a percentage of your business is valuable, right? A 10% of a $500,000, $500,000 business, like that's worth something. And you shouldn't just part with equity because you feel like, hey, this person would be the best partner possible. Sometimes it might make sense for them to buy in to the business, right? At that point. Or, you know, if they truly have earned it and, you know, you have to be very careful parting with equity. But if they truly have earned it, like, sure, it can be, you know, given to them as part of a comp package as well. But I think a lot of times people feel as if equity has to be given versus it being bought from them. So that is an option, right? Where you can have whoever it is, like if they're interested, they come to you and say, hey, I want to in on this cap table. Well, great. This is what the company is currently valued at. 10% of this equity is worth X amount. If you pay us this much, you can have your buy-in, right? So it's like that is a very true option for people that I think oftentimes gets overlooked. They think that sweat equity is the buy-in.
When it's so hard to put a dollar amount on some of that stuff too. Like it's easy if you're like, oh, sweat equity is equal to X and you're in the charge of driving leads. And then I guess you could say like, if you're in charge of retaining leads, you can be like, oh, well, you're keeping this much money in the business on basis. And so that's probably a place where I'd go to. And I'm sure we'll get a couple of questions of when does it make sense to acquire agencies? Because at that point, that's when actual equity of things start to have a conversation. Because when we went through this, when we acquired the Boundless team, this was the only team of the acquisitions that we've done that we gave up equity. That was the first one, like, we understand that there's a unique value proposition that Chase Deep and Amelia were providing. And we want to make sure that they're incentivized to continue to grow this new giant part of our business, which now like pretty much core of what we do. We do a lot of email. And so if we sit here going, if Jake and I were sloppy, and we were adding a bunch of equity or doing something, that captain would have been a mess. And we wouldn't have been able to incentivize them with any sort of percentage. Thankfully, we did it correctly. And actually finishing up this year, it'll only be Chase, me, and Jake on the cap table. And we've had to buy back equity. We've had to make some of these decisions. But if we, Jake and myself, were sloppy on divvying up equity at the beginning, dude, this would have been a multi-million dollar purchase to get a lot of these dollars, a lot of these points back into our pocket.
For sure. And the other thing that you can do, instead of actually offering true equity, you can do something called phantom equity as well, that I think is also overlooked in our space. And I think the reason that it's overlooked in our space is that people use it as a negotiating chip with no intention of ever giving them like a true sense of equity in the business. So it is a double-edged sword from that standpoint. But if you're like genuine about giving phantom equity, like you treat them like an equity partner without having to go through any of like the legality of actually giving them true equity in the business, but they get the upside of being an owner. Because I think oftentimes, like especially when you're bringing really A-level players into your ecosystem, they want to be able to contribute at a high level. And part of contributing at a high level is having some sort of stake in the business. But I think those A players often will overlook that having a stake in the business comes with responsibility and risk. And as the owner of the business, we carry that responsibility and risk if anything ever happens. And so honestly, like a phantom equity, if it's done correctly, is the best benefit to an employee that really anyone could ever have, because you get to carry all the benefits of being an owner without any of the weight of if things go badly. You get to just walk away.
And tax, like there's real tax implications when we're having to file this stuff. So it's real money, real dollars, especially at some of our sizes. And so I think this early on, I think if there's ways where money can do a lot of the lifting, I would just stay there. It's just so much cleaner. They're not married to you. There's usually a vesting period that you're locked in for a couple of years anyway. So will you even get that true value out? And I think partnerships for me is a no-brainer. So if you're in this position of you're going like, should I partner with somebody? First off, know where you want to stay for the next 2 to 3 years. Know what you actually have to do, because yeah, I'm sure it could change if things shit it's a fan, but know that you are going to be in that one area that they're going to know that you won't be in the area then which you're bringing on that partner at, because you want them to get into it, you want them to own it, you want them to kind of build with it. And I would even say for those people out there that are not doing partnerships, how are you guys incentivizing your team to take more ownership over what they're doing? Like money can, although money is a great tool, money could only be so much to get someone to be fully bought in and to do more than what they've been paid to do.
Yeah. for sure. For, I guess, addressing, because when you started Structure, did you start with Jake?
Yeah, from the start. We went 50-50 right from the get-go.
Okay, gotcha. Because, like, you know, for me, like, when I introduced Partnership, it's one of those things where, you know, like, it just felt like the right thing with Nicholas. There wasn't a ton of diligence done on our side. We're just like, hey, like, we're both grinding on this right now. We should probably just be partners in running this. And that's how we set it up. But I think there are some, probably, like, if you have, like, a little bit more of established business, what are some things that people should be looking for in a partnership before they, like, pull the trigger and say, hey, like, let's go ahead and do this. Let's get married and have a partnership. What are some things that you're looking at?
I actually have, like, a measurement of partnerships that I use for, like, my life. I think I've explained this to you before.
I don't think so.
Okay. So there's, like, levels of partnerships that you go down towards, and it's not just necessary for business, but since a lot of us work, I love work. I love business. I love what this is. Vacation from this, it would be, I wouldn't be living. It's like, this is who I am and how we operate at any level. Like, if I had all the money in the world, I'd still be doing the same shit. So when I look at partnerships and relationships, it's the same thing. It's not partnerships in business or partnerships in life. Partnerships are partnerships. And so there's levels of this. This first one, you have similar beliefs on growth. So this person has the ability to go, okay, I want to be a billion-dollar company. You can't have somebody, for instance, Jake or Aaron, my two core partners, or even James, I want to be a billion-dollar, and I'm over here going, like, I think a couple million are okay. And I used to have this feeling. I used to be, and it wasn't because I didn't feel like I was worthy for it. It was more so, I never knew it was possible. I didn't think that I could get to this level. And now, and that's super important. Like, if you have someone that's operating with a multi-million dollar, or even just multi-hundreds of thousands, and you're over here in the multi-hundreds of millions, billions, you're not going to be moving at the speed at which they're wanting to move yet. So alignment of growth, speed of growth is the second question around this. Can you align on the speed in which you're going to go? Does your life allow you to do that? I'm entering a very different phase of my life. Whereas when we were partnering and acquiring Chase, he entered a very different phase of his life. Jake moving to New York, he's in a very different phase of his life. James moving to New York, very different phases. The phases of life influence the amount of work or the amount of things on your mind. As I enter into this new phase of being with a kid, where am I willing to sacrifice? Where am I willing not to sacrifice? Does that mean I'm going to go slower? Does that mean I'm going to go harder? We don't know yet. So those things are super important, because you might come into a partnership where he or she might have a family and they're willing to jump on that call at 7 p.m. might not be as inclined. So those are things that you have to have alignment around, especially, again, speed of growth and the size of which you're trying to grow to. Second, I think you really need to lose. Like, you really need to lose together. And I'm talking, it's a contract. I'm talking, you fucked up. I'm talking major cash that just went out of the pocket. Like, you actually need to feel like you need to look across the room or look into them in the call and be like, this one really hurts and this sucks. I think you have to go through that loss.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I didn't even think about the loss side of it. You know, it's like, fortunately, we haven't had, like, massive, like, we've had losses for sure. But nothing like backbreaking, you know. For those backbreaking losses, like, you know, with your partnership, like, how have some of those kind of panned out? Because I think you've been in business long enough to probably have to suffer through a few of those.
I've had two really big ones. Third one was not as big. One with Jake, one with James, to the point where, like, you jump on a call with them and you're like, are we going to choose to get past this, or are we going to choose to let this be the end of it? And, like, that's a very real discussion with each other on that, and that point. And in that case, you go back to two things. One, where was their heart at? Like, did they do or mean to do what had happened? Was that their intention of it to happen? And if you can come to the conclusion of, like, where you know in your heart, like, that's, there was no malice in the action. It was just an unfortunate scenario. Then you make an adjustment at that point. And if you come to the conclusion together, or even more to yourself before you come into it together, and go, this is unfortunate. I understand what had happened, and I understand where this went wrong. And you can rationalize that negative outcome. I think that's the best place to go forward. Because the other side of this is, like, that person knows that you are hurt, but you're choosing to be with them, or you're choosing to build with them again. That happens in personal life too, right? Now, there's some things you can't come back from. There's some things where it's unforgivable, but you don't have to have any hate against them. You just have to be very careful what you build in the future. So I think that loss, it depends on the context of the situation. I think the third thing, you have to have a major win. You have to have, like, a giant W together that you'd like. It's not just necessary cash. It could be a contract closed. It could be we got through this thing. It could be any of the scenarios where you, like, literally have a major win. And I think that's a huge place of, because camaraderie happens in the locker room after a win. Camaraderie happens in the locker room after a loss. And so you have to like kind of tie those things together. The fourth thing, beliefs on how business is done, like integrity levels. Levels of like, if this person is put into this situation, are they going to do what I would do if I was in their situation? That's a big one, dude.
Yeah, for sure. No, all four of those are great points. And for me, like, I think it's smart to have criteria around those things, because that's something that I've never really built criteria around, just because I've only had opportunities to partner with people on two businesses. And one, I was being brought into a business, and then this one, I was bringing someone in. So I think as you get more reps in, you start building criteria around one of your experiences, but also like who you actually want to do business with. But I love that criteria. I'm gonna steal that for anything new that I bring people in on. So that's great.
It's super important. And I use this in my life too with my partners and who I choose to build relationships and friends with. And at the end of the day, like, you want different partners. You don't want someone that's going to be another Josh or another Nick, because the whole reason why they're coming into your life, or the whole reason why you're choosing to build with them, is that they're going to see things different. So understanding, I think the second thing of partnerships, probably one of the things we can end this chapter on, is ways of communication styles. Is something that I've learned, because I'm a heavy context individual. Yet when I'm talking with Aaron, or when I'm talking with James and Jake, they are at times low context, high execution. And you're like, whoa, 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 dude! Like, I need all the things before I go forward. And so if you don't have that understanding, like, oh, I know Jake likes it this way, I need to meet him there, or oh, Aaron needs it this way, I need to meet him there. That's something where you go above and beyond. You kind of start reading the corner so that you can be in a good position to serve them.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we used to do like the, like DISC assessments and things like that. Understand who you're talking to, how to communicate with your team and also your partners. I mean, it's one of the most important things. How do they receive feedback well? How do they like to be communicated with? Because like for me, I just rip the Band-Aid off and like hit me with the hammer on the head and be like, yo, this is where we messed up. We need to fix it. This is how we move forward. Let's go. Like, that's how I like to be communicated with. Like, I don't need the fluff around the feedback. Like, just give it to me straight and let's roll. And that's how I like to deliver feedback, but that's not how everyone receives feedback, right? So it's like you have to sometimes come in with the velvet hammer instead of the sledgehammer and be a little bit softer with the people that you're speaking with. So no, that's another good piece to end on there.
I appreciate you, dude. Well, we have another really cool topic that we'll go in after this one. But as always, thankful for everybody that's listening. We are back into a great routine and rhythm. So it's like we never left. But I will say shout out to everybody that's stayed with us, made some great comments on all the content we started to produce. And also, like, we have some new stuff coming up in there. So, Josh, if you have anything that's coming up for you, I know you have something really soon, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, Hydra Council coming up the end of April, April 19th and 20th. If you guys want to come hang out, very niche event, 65 attendees. We try to keep it small and intimate so we can work directly with you on your agency. It's not going to be your classic event where, you know, you're going to go in, there's a guy on stage, they're speaking at you, and it's like just information overload. We do a split between that and application, where whatever we're learning, we have time to apply, and we can work with our team directly on fixing the bottlenecks within your business. So if you're looking for a good event for your agency to come to, obviously I'm the person hosting it, so I'm a little biased on it, but we got some really great people speaking this year. We're solving a lot of issues in the agency space as they currently sit around lead gen, sales, fulfillment, HR, finance. So if you have some bottlenecks this year, man, for the price of the event, you know, you'll fix a lot in a 2-day session with us. And so, yeah, I'm really excited about it.
Oh yeah, dude. Yeah. Find your tribe. I mean, I'm very biased against in-person meetings and agency live agency owners at various sizes. The only thing that's different is it just gets harder the more you make. So it's very cool. Appreciate you. And shout out to the Podyssey team for producing and getting us to a place where we can be creating and our content can be continued to be distributed. So we'll see you on the next one, guys. Peace out.